Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Brought to you by our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. It's May 1st, 10:04 on the clock. Seth and James here with you. How you doing, Seth?
I'm doing good.
We're checking in, and we want you to check in. Mm-hmm. Call up 424-2600. Bring us your sports thoughts and feelings. If only there was something to talk about in sports. It's been so dead. What? There's a billion things we could talk about. We could literally start anywhere that we wanted to here. I personally had somewhere I was going to start. I am going to pull an audible just to try to start on a positive note here and everything with our audience. The St. Louis Cardinals are like 9-15 through their last 24 games, and this is the worst 24-game start to the season for the Cardinals since 1973.
There you go.
So doesn't that make everybody happy?
That makes everyone happy.
The Cardinals are bad. I'm joking. I don't know. Might be some Cardinal fans out there. I apologize if there are. Let's find out who's out there. Let's take a phone call to start off our show. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Hello.
Hello. I hear you.
Oh, okay. Now we can hear you. Now couldn't hear you for a second there. How's it going?
Well, it's not going bad, but I just want to know if there's something in the water this year throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you have the Bucks upset.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the upset last time of the Boston Bruins and the Colorado Avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
And all the upsets that happened to the NCAA tournament. What in the world is going on?
There's no need to rank anything anymore.
No reason
we don't have to worry about ranking things anymore. That's what it means. I was listening to a couple of really old school like hockey players and some younger guys that have just retired talking about this because with hockey this happens. It's almost more likely that if you win the President's Cup that you're gonna lose in the playoffs at some round. It's more likely. My Chicago Blackhawks were the last team to do this back in 13.
Yeah, a decade ago.
Yeah.
10 years.
And if any time I've ever seen this and I went into the playoffs confident a president's team would win, it was this year's Boston Bruins. Last year's Florida Panthers, which is kind of funny that it's the Panthers that knocked them out. Last year, the Panthers won it, but I wasn't that confident on that team. They didn't seem like a playoff team to me.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed like a good regular season team, but I didn't expect them to lose in the first round like they did last year, the Florida Panthers.
Right.
Had you told me Boston was going to lose in the playoffs, sure. First round? No way.
No.
I'll take that bet. I'll bet on that. This is why I don't gamble. This is it. This is, I didn't ever understood gambling to begin with, especially nowadays.
Don't do it now, man.
Why don't you just go to the bookie or whoever and say, just take my money.
Take my money.
Just take my money. I know what's going to happen. Just take. I just feel like giving away money, apparently. I'm with you, sir. I don't know what's in the water, what's going on. But when I listen to these people, when I listen to them talk about this, just with hockey, I don't know about other sports, but with hockey, it's such a grind. It's 82 games. You get to this point, and then guess what? If you do this right, if everything goes the way you want it to, you're playing another 40 games. You're playing another like 30, 40
games.
Can you
imagine?
And stuff. I genuinely think that there's a little mental break there, but what I heard was the physical. The physicality, that there's just almost no way you can keep up that same endurance you did those first 30 games as you could the last 30 games of a season in the playoffs.
Right. Well, you know, even watching last night, especially, I caught the end of the overtime period between the Bruins and the Panthers. That was, I mean, there was some pretty good hitting, but the passing was just amazing last night.
Yes.
Mm. I mean, that was really cool. But then you turn around and then you watched the Avalanche and Seattle. Seattle was down 3-1 at one point in that series.
Yeah.
But the physicality of that game last night was unbelievable.
I've heard it in soccer. I always thought about it with hockey, though. The most dangerous thing in hockey is a 2-goal lead. But it's too much. Might as well just not even think about it. If it's the first period and you've got a 2-goal lead, good luck. Good luck, because that's probably going to be a 5-4 game or something that you might lose. They've changed a lot of the rules over hockey over the last years and stuff, and they've really opened things up. But they've made it more possible for these things to happen, which I think has made the game more exciting.
I don't disagree with you on that, James, especially, you know, and you can all you get the old adage of you could throw away whatever happened in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and I've noticed that more in hockey. I mean, you have your hits and you have your aggressive play and stuff sometimes throughout the season. But boy, when playoff hockey gets going, that's the best hockey to watch. I mean, it's physical.
I've said it my whole life, and I've heard many other people say it and stuff, so I'm not trying to say this like I'm original here or anything, but I always thought that I just thought this way because of my dad. I grew up in a hockey family. The hockey playoffs are the greatest playoffs. They just are. There are no bad playoffs. I want to make clear of that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no bad playoffs. But as far as my favorite and the most, like, you never could guess what's going to happen, it's the hockey playoffs. Like, easily. The one-and-done aspect of the NFL is certainly gives a little bit
right,
of that.
Yeah.
But even with something like that, it doesn't seem as sudden. When there's an upset in the playoffs in football, it feels like it happens gradually through mm-hmm. the game. And because the game takes as long as it does,
right.
you have time to kind of your brain adjust to, oh, this number one seed's going down.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel right. as big by the end of the game. In hockey, it's not that different. But because of the speed and the action of the game, you feel like, wait a minute. The Colorado Avalanche are out of the playoffs? The Boston's out of the playoffs? Like, even a day later, you're kind of like, wait a minute, that just happened. It's crazy. There's nothing like it.
So two things that that crossed my mind just seeing all this morning, looking through everything that was going on. First of all, the saying that, you know, just get to the playoffs actually means more now. And I think to what the caller is saying, not just for hockey, for anything anymore,
yeah.
it does not matter. As long as you get to the playoffs, you've got a chance. Number two, there's no such thing as momentum in hockey.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as momentum. If there's any sport that it just throw it out the window, because I have not, in these playoffs, I've seen nothing that would say momentum means anything.
Boston came in with the definition of momentum and a goalie that's probably going to win the Vezina and everything. And they had to switch goalies in the series. Like, you're so right about this. Like, when we were kids, if you went into the hockey playoffs with a hot goalie, a Dominic Hasek, a Patrick Roy, somebody mm-hmm. like that, get ready, start stretching your arms because you're going to be raising a cup.
Yep.
Now, I don't know.
No,
I don't know if it matters anymore. I don't even know what hot goalie is anymore. It's crazy. It's fun. It's exciting. It's taken some getting used to, I think.
Yeah.
Anything else? I wanted to ask you, the audience, about the Packers draft. I wanted to know what how people were thinking about this. I know that you've given us your feedback before about Green Bay. Do you want to jump in with any of that real quick before we let you go, caller?
Real quick. I mean, I kind of agree with some of the things that they with the draft and stuff. I agree with. I'm excited to see what this kid from Iowa is going to do.
Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see where he goes, where the new wide receivers. I mean, I think what the Pro Football Focus gave the Packers almost an A. I think it was like a B-plus or A-minus ranking on their draft. And I think this is probably Goody's one of his best drafts that he had. I mean, obviously, he didn't really truly go into the draft as the best man up. He had his list, and I think he stuck to it.
Yeah,
was kind of surprised a little bit on how things fell to him. I think Detroit, my personal opinion, I think Detroit probably had one of the worst drafts out of the division.
Really,
the way they drafted. Oh, just the way they drafted was just really strange.
Yeah.
On some of their picks, Chicago, James, I hate to say it, their draft looked good. I mean, it just, we'll see how the coaching ends up with the picks that they got.
But I'm with you on that. I don't disagree with the Detroit thing. Detroit just seemed like, So we're going to grab this great running back, and then we're going to trade our running back. Like, you trade the running back first, get more for him, and then you grab the running back. Like,
right.
It just felt like some stuff was unorganized.
Backwards a little bit,
It ended up kind of, it could end up working out for them pretty well, I think. But I agree with you about, like, a lot of head scratching there with that. I admire Gutekunst's draft, like a lot of GMs. I admire a drafter who sticks to their board and doesn't let outside noises, you know, pull you away from it and everything. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. So that, you know, we're not going to know with any of these kids.
No.
For at least a couple of years. I don't even take their first year as an example. That doesn't even tell you much. You got to give it a couple of years. I did find it hilarious, though. So I love the idea. Two things here. One, Lucas Van Ness, great linebacker. He's an Iowa kid, so we want, you know, Big Ten followers have seen him a lot over the years. He also looks exactly like Aaron Campman, like AJ Hawk, like Clay Matthews. They really got a type over there in Green Bay. I thought that was funny. But what I love even more than that is, imagine this, because we know Aaron Rodgers. He's watching all this stuff and everything, and he's watching the draft, and the Packers draft the defensive guy, and him with his little scotch or whatever, sitting there trying to feel smart for a second, like, see, that's why I wanted out or whatever. And then the Jets come up and grab a defensive player.
Right.
I love that. I love the idea of that. I love him just sitting like, meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Yeah. It's kind of funny over the weekend of all the memes and stuff like that they had out there with Aaron Rodgers, and all he's seen in 15 years, Love will be the next Jet there too. So
yes, yeah. I hadn't seen that. That's great. I love the idea.
A bunch of memes about that.
Like for the next like 30 years or whatever, the Packers and Jets just have this deal, like just this like gentleman's agreement. Like when we're done with this guy, we'll give him to you. Well, it's just a grant. It's just a given that this will happen.
Would that make it 15 love then?
Oh,
come on. Wow.
Appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. Good to talk to you,
man.
Guys,
have a great day.
You too. Have a great one. That was good. That was well played. I did want to mention real quickly that new defensive lineman Lucas Van Ness for the Packers, he was a standout hockey player growing up and part of the reason they turned it, he got pushed to football is because he liked the floor check too much. He's checking guys when he doesn't even need to.
Yeah.
It's an interesting draft. Maybe when we have time, we can get a little bit more into the draft class and everything. Yeah.
That's a combo you don't see much, football and hockey.
No, you don't.
You usually see hockey and baseball. I think that's the most common, you know, because baseball you can do. I think it's because it's a timing thing, you know, what time of year it's played and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, that's weird.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Jack. I wanted to talk about Jack Nicholson a little bit. Okay. Now, why is James talking about acting in the middle of a sports show? Come on. One, because I am going to make you guys all put up with me as I try to get my Jack Nicholson impression back.
He's working on it.
I'm still working on it. But also, Jack showed up. Jack showed up there over the weekend. He was at the game on Friday.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
Wow.
At Friday's game, in case anybody missed it. So Jack Nicholson has been retired for a long time, and he hasn't really been in the public eye for quite some time. He's kind of removed himself.
Private citizen, yep.
Yeah. Well, Jack Nicholson returned to the Los Angeles Lakers home arena for game 6 of their first round series against the Memphis Grizzlies. The legendary actor greeted many players, including LeBron and that. Well, the game ended with a 40-point-some blowout of the Memphis Grizzlies, the team that everybody had anointed in the West as the next up-and-coming team. They're going to be in the Western Conference Finals at the very
least.
Heard
a lot of that, yep.
And the Lakers are too old. They're not going to be able to do it, blah, blah, blah. They're done. Lakers not just beat Memphis, beat them down.
It was brutal.
They're still feeling it. It was Friday, and I guarantee you they're still feeling it today on Monday. I think that Jack Nicholson had a little to do with this. I think that we need Jack back at every game. If I'm a Laker fan, I want Jack Nicholson at every game.
Come back, Jack.
It was kind of cool to see him and LeBron hug. Jack Nicholson looks good.
He's looking pretty good. He's 80-something now?
Yeah. And he looks great. Like, just as a side note. We were talking about this with the caller a little bit. The playoffs have been just fantastic. And I don't even have to say NHL or NBA. Like, I can just say playoffs, and that's enough.
Right. For me personally, I'm more interested in hockey for a couple of reasons. I'm really not into the LeBron versus Steph.
Yeah.
You know, I get why people are excited about, you know, those two facing off.
I can't wait.
Yeah. I like my friend James here.
Yes, yes.
But it's still the Lakers and the Warriors.
Yeah,
and
it's
to
the
me,
same
it's
old,
just you know, I was hoping for, you know, some new blood. It's the Grizzlies. I was hoping Sacramento, especially.
Me too.
I was really hoping they could pull something off. So the West to me is more boring. The East is more interesting to me because of Philly. And because of – now, why is the other team just totally flying my – I can't
– Philly and Miami?
No.
Miami, New York.
No. Oh, New York. Sorry. Yeah, the Knicks.
Yeah.
With Philly and the Knicks. Okay. Because I can't tell you how much I want an Eastern Conference Finals of the Knicks versus the Sixers.
Oh, my God.
How awesome would that be, man?
That would be pretty good.
That would be awesome.
You got me
on that. It's probably not going to happen, but it would be awesome.
Right. I obviously have not brought up one of the elephant in the room with the Milwaukee Bucks losing in the first round. I don't like to. I don't want to, if we were doing this show the day it happened or the day after it happened, it would be different. I would have led the show with it,
right?
But because it happened a couple of days ago, and they've already played a first game in the first in the next round, Miami's one up over New York,
right? Yeah.
So it feels like old news.
Yeah.
But I do want to bring back to something, and I would love to hear the audience's take on this.
Okay.
Because after the game, a reporter asked Giannis Antetokounmpo, does he consider the season a failure?
Failure, yeah.
And first off, horrible word choice. Like, horrible word choices there.
Yeah.
Especially asking this man, anybody that, after at the end of something. Giannis had an incredible response back.
Oh, man.
That I thought it was an incredible response. I thought it was very well put. He's, well, at your job, you strive, you try to get promotions, you try to get a raise. At the end of the year, if you didn't get one, does that mean your whole year of work was pointless and worthless?
Yeah, right.
The idea of striving and working to be better every season, every year, that's something that we encourage our children, our young people to do all the time. Hey, every day you can get better. Every day you can grow. Not at sports, at life. Like, what are we telling? This is, I had this conversation 2 weeks ago when I was talking about this. Like, the idea of winning and losing in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the idea that if it's win or nothing. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
There are way too many. First off, how many championships have been won with a little luck involved? I have the answer for you. Every single one of every sport in human history.
100%.
Going to T-ball to the biggest sport, from all four major sports to soccer to MMA to X Games. I don't care what it is. A little bit of luck has been involved with that win. So how ridiculous is that? Like, we're gonna make the difference of, hey, you're great, you're not, from a championship, even though luck was involved, that you had nothing to do with, that nobody did, that nobody can plan on, nobody can make happen.
You know it.
You could walk around with a pocket full of four-leaf clovers, and you're not going to be any luckier than Seth and I.
That's right.
With all those factors, and we're still, like, we understand that. Most sports fans are intelligent and get that, and we're still going to make it all about winning? Like, the idea that that it's win or nothing? That seems ridiculous to me. So what Giannis said back was not just him trying to convince himself, I feel, or anything. It may have been a little of that, but I don't think that's just what it was. And I have never been more disappointed in, like, a lot of sports commentators that I actually look up to that I enjoy, and their take on this. Mm-hmm. And the idea of, well, that's not what Bucks fans want to hear, or that's not what his teammates want to hear, how he should feel. First off, who the heck are you to tell somebody else how to feel?
Yeah, first of all.
And more importantly, who do you think he's talking to? He ain't talking to you. He ain't talking to the reporters.
No.
He's talking to the fan base. He's talking to his teammates.
Yeah.
And what else are you supposed? Oh man, that sucked. That's horrible. I just want to, you know, crawl up and die.
Yeah, right.
I'm done with. I'm retiring from basketball. I think the Milwaukee Bucks should sell their franchise. What do you want him to do?
Yeah.
What is he supposed to do? Like, in that moment.
Yep. I this is how interesting that was, because I heard the entirety of his response on a baseball podcast. I didn't go looking for it because I had heard about it, but they had played his entire response to that question on a baseball. And I loved him for doing that, because it's one of the great spur-of-the-moment quotations I have ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
It was thoughtful. It made a lot of sense. He's such an articulate human being. Man. When he's done with basketball, man, he's going to go get his, like, PhD or something. He's smart. He's just a very intelligent human being.
It was seeing him in that. I never thought about Giannis after basketball.
Yeah,
I never thought about that until that quote of his and everything. And hearing that, reading it, because I've gone over it a number of times. And each time I read it, I get a coach. Like, he could be a good coach
one
day.
He'd be an excellent coach.
I never thought about it before, but
that's his philosophy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not his only philosophy. Of course, it's just a soundbite, basically. But how he went, and it was not the same. It's not the canned answer either.
That's not loser talk to me.
No.
Because, again, 29 teams lose, only one wins. That's not there are not 29 teams in the NBA of losers. Some, sure, but not all. Especially not that team that just won you a championship like two seconds ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you talking about? That's not loser talk. What loser talk to me is when you come back and they put that mic in your face and you're not there. You're Dylan Brooks. You're somebody like that. You can talk loud. You can talk a good game and everything when you're winning or when you got your guys behind you or something. But as soon as you're losing or anything, I'll take the fine. I'll take the fine. I'm not going to face the. I'm not going to face the noise.
Nah.
Did Giannis do that?
Nope.
It'd have been a lot easier. You think that guy ain't got money to pay a fine?
He didn't do it. Yeah.
Now, legally or contract-wise, they are supposed to, so many amount of games in the playoffs and everything, you have to be available for questions afterwards.
Offer yourself to the media, right?
You do have the option of paying a fine, and a lot of players do that, like Dylan Brooks, like I just mentioned. Giannis is making three times what Dylan Brooks is.
Yeah.
He could easily have done that. You think he wanted to talk about that game or wanted to face anybody?
He did.
That's what a winner does.
Yes.
That's a winner to me. Even without the championship, that's a winner to me.
I got to say, for Bucks fans out there, you guys have one heck of a player. You've got one heck of a human being.
Yeah.
The team, this is a team that's still built to go many, many years into to be competitive many, many years. I think of my supposed team, the hot mess that is the Timberwolves.
Oh, God.
And which barely, they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how, but they did. And then, they kind of petered out like everyone thought they were going to. But compared to what the Bucks got, man. This is a good franchise right here in Milwaukee.
You got a guy who is like one of the most motivated human beings on the planet, and not that cheap stuff with like the chip on your shoulder stuff like Aaron Rodgers or whatever, that kind of thing. We're talking like coming from nothing, literally coming from nothing, having a body type like I've got and getting drafted in the NBA and turning into what he's going to go down as one of the greats.
Yeah.
When they do their 75th annual, top 75 players of all time after Giannis is retired and those things, I promise I will put my name on it that he will be in the top 75 of all time.
Something that just occurred to me, the top players right now, all the guys that were in the MVP conversation, are one of them from the United States?
None of them.
Who's the top recruit right now? Is he from the United States?
Yeah, Victor Wembanyama. Yeah, he's not. No.
I think maybe there's a lesson here.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something that we should learn from these guys. Because I'm seeing something a little different now. So just putting that out
Well put.
Yeah.
The NBA playoffs are going to be very exciting.
Yes.
424-2600 is the number to call. Call up and join the conversation. Before we go to break, I did want to touch on the NHL playoffs real quick.
Yeah.
We did a little of that conversation already. Again, thanks to the caller up there.
Yeah, that was good.
He did a great job of whether it was on purpose or not, getting us to be able to cover a number of different topics right away. Right.
Very good. Yes.
Thank you for that. Appreciate you. So Florida beats Boston. That's the big story.
Big one. Woo.
That is the big one.
In
right
Boston.
There. In Boston. If you get a chance to watch the highlight of the overtime, it's real quick. It happens. The goal goes in, and the announcer, like you can hear at the end of the tail end of the sentence, how this goes. The announcer's calling it, looking at the ice, and slowly looking at the and hearing the arena. And by the end of his sentence, he's already like, oh. He's like, oh. I've never heard an arena like that. Like, I've heard quiet arenas, I've heard booing, I've heard a lot of that before. We've used this phrase our whole lives, the air getting sucked out of an arena. That's the first time I've ever actually, like, that phrase has made sense to me.
Stunned is the word I would use. Stunned.
Even Florida fans were stunned.
Yeah.
Even Florida fans, like, the only cheering you hear in that arena, because there were some Florida fans in the arena, but they weren't even cheering. It was the guys on the ice. You could literally hear almost each one of those guys on the ice cheering because it's so stunned. You know it's stunning when even the winning team is like, dumbfounded.
Yeah.
I love this about hockey. I love this about sports. I don't think it means that the Boston Bruins season was a failure.
No.
Again, just as similar as with the Bucks and the Bruins here in both of these situations. You as a fan are entitled to think what you think and feel what you feel. And that's, I'm not going to tell some fan how to feel or anything like
that.
Right,
yeah.
I feel like it is almost the definition of self-importance. Of doing that. I feel like you're really making it about you.
You're right.
You don't own this team. You don't have you didn't practice with this team. Look, you just got done hearing me say my Chicago Blackhawks. I do this too. I'm not above this or anything. But there are moments in time where we have to kind of take a step back as fans.
Yeah.
And be like, think about what you are celebrating. Think about what you are not celebrating.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the whatever team goes on and wins the whole thing. That's cool. That's great. Guess who's like really winning with that? It's not the fan base. It's the owners and the players and the, you know, that kind of stuff.
Like, exactly.
They're the only ones getting a ring. Like fans aren't getting
bonus
rings
money. Yeah, they're the ones getting paid for it. Right.
But no season of any team. The Houston Rockets just wrapped up one of the worst seasons in their franchise's history, and it was not a failure. Guess why? People went to those games to be entertained. There were people outside that arena selling shirts. There were businesses around that arena that blew up in business one time a year when they're in play, when they are in season. This is not just about you as a fan. This is a business.
Right.
Look at what happened when LeBron James left Cleveland.
Mm.
He left there, and that area dried up like that.
Yeah.
Like they're hurting in that area right now from one guy leaving. Like, think about what you have and have some perspective, have some appreciation. I got to say this, too. Of all the Milwaukee Buck fans I know, and I've got a lot of them in my life, and I didn't hear a darn one of them like complaining. Like, they were hurt and upset about the season.
Sure, yeah.
But I didn't hear anybody like whining or complaining like certain fan bases. A shout out to the Buck fan base out there because I did not hear I did not hear any of that from them. I'm not saying it doesn't exist and it didn't exist. I'm sure there are plenty out there that might be, but I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was encouraging and having perspective, understanding what you have.
Yeah. Real quick, a shout out to Seattle. The Krakens, for two reasons. If they can do the next round what they did in the first round, they may become my new favorite team because they've already beaten the Avalanche, who I hate, and they're going up against the Stars. And you can imagine how I think about the Dallas Stars.
I can quite imagine.
If the Kraken can pull that off, they're my new favorite team. I'm just going to put that out there.
So I, especially, because I'll always love the Blackhawks. That's my first and foremost favorite team. But they haven't been good for a while. So when it comes to the playoffs, who am I going to root for? I was going to adopt the Kraken, but they weren't in the playoffs last year. So I've adopted I think it's been way too long since a Canadian team won this.
That's
I want to
true.
See a Canadian team. Yep. I have my growing up, we had some friends and family from Toronto we like. So I've been rooting for the Maple Leafs.
Can you imagine if the Leafs win? Oh, my
God. Oh, my God.
Toronto's going to go bananas.
We can't wrap. Like, the closest we have in comparison is when the Raptors won a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Look how much they lost their mind there. And that was basketball.
Yeah,
I can't imagine how they flip out over that. especially one of their signature teams like Toronto.
Yes,
winning.
Indeed.
A big shout out to the Maple Leafs. They just beat arguably the biggest boogeyman in sports.
Like, yes.
Since the Patriots haven't been good for a couple of seasons now, you really haven't had a dominant team in any of the major sports like the Patriots.
Not really.
Except for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yes.
Who have won like three out of the last four Stanley Cups. They've been competitive the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've been challenging the cup and all that. So you defeat something like that in hockey where... You again, a 2-0 lead is one of the most dangerous things to have in hockey. All you do is tense up. All you do is start playing defense and trying to protect the net in these things. The worst thing you could... I like Lovey Smith as a coach, but Lovey Smith taught you something. You got to step on their throat. Lovey Smith forever would get a 2-touchdown lead or a touchdown lead and just try to hold the ball and hang on. And what did every game we lost like that.
Yep.
Every single one.
Dennis Green used to do that too.
Yeah, you got to... I don't care what sport you're coaching. I don't care who you are. Step on their throat. You got a 10-point lead? Make it a 50. You got a 50-point lead? Make it 100.
Yes.
Have you not been watching sports? Do you not understand what can happen?
Yeah.
Like the idea of, they're not playing fair. They're running the score up. Stop them. Stop them. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about like T-ball, okay?
I'm not
talking about like high school sports and everything. That's a completely different subject. But anything college and above, stop them. You don't like the score running up? Stop them.
Yeah, especially in the NFL. They get so bent out of shape about that.
Come on. Play some defense.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. We'll take a break. We'll come back, take some more calls, and have some more fun here on Playmakers, which is brought to you by our great friends over over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in the Wisconsin Rapids area, sponsoring the show. Seth and James here with you, and you are welcome to join us anytime. We got a chair right here for you, a mic all set up. All you got to do is call 424-2600, join the conversation. Whatever we're talking about, you can take the conversation in a completely
whatever direction. We haven't even talked about baseball yet.
Yep, and it's just got to be about sports. That's the only catch. and since you mentioned that, Seth, I did want to get to baseball, actually.
Okay. Okay, real quick, I got to say. So last night, my family, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings, which we haven't been to in a really long time in Stevens Point. So we go there, and of course, you know, TVs all around, sports going on. So they had, they had a baseball game on. They had some college softball on. They had all this other stuff. On the big screens, though, they had Ultimate Frisbee? What? I was like, what is it? What? So I had to have my son explain to me. He knows the rules to Ultimate Frisbee. I don't. I have no clue.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
It looks like it's on a football field. And, you know, I was like, what's going on here? I don't even know what's going on.
We're gonna have to start doing playmakers every day because there's too many sports.
There's too many sports, man.
We've never really talked about pickleball on this sport.
Pickleball,
on this show.
I mean, professional dodgeball, nothing, none of that, man.
We don't cover enough. We don't cover enough. We need more time. That's hilarious. It's also very humbling when your child has to explain something to you. I've been there. Yes.
It's great. I love it, actually.
Real quick note about baseball. Next Monday, Tyler is going to be joining us from the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Tyler's going to be, from there now until the end of the season, Tyler's going to join us once or twice a month, talking about promotions, talking about some player signings, and just talking Rafter baseball.
Yeah, bring in the new announcers for this year and talk to them a little bit. That's going to be fun.
Every hit, every pitch, every win of Rafter baseball right here at WFHR all season long. Looking forward to the 23 season.
Yeah.
But we're going to go to MLB, actually. And a lot of rule changes, of course. That is probably the biggest thing that has been talked about in baseball.
Yep.
More than any other player, it's been the rules and the game that has been talked about this season going into the year and even in this first quarter of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I find that kind of cool. I don't know if that's ever happened to me in my life where we didn't start a baseball season with who's winning, who's losing, who's going to be MVP. It's all been about the rule changes.
Right.
With that, Major League Baseball isn't done tinkering with potential rule changes for the sport. The league announced a series of experimental rules that will be used in the Atlantic League this season, including a designated pitch runner, double hook designated hitter rule, and further limitations on a pitcher's ability to make pickoff moves. The designed pitch runner rule allows a player who is not in the starting lineup to be used at any point of the game as a substitute base runner. The player who was subbed out, as well as the pitch runner, would still be able to return to the game.
Ooh, that one I had not heard about. That's an interesting one. I'm going to have to chew on that one a little bit.
Yeah. The double hook designated hitter rule allows teams to use the DH throughout the game as long as the starting pitcher throws at least 5 innings.
Mm.
If that doesn't occur, then the team loses its DH and the pitcher spot would bat for the remainder of the game. The rule was also used in the Atlantic League last season.
I have heard about the double hook, and I think it's a terrible idea. First of all, you're going to have pitchers batting again. I thought we didn't want that anymore.
Right?
I thought that was the whole reason we did the universal DH.
Right,
okay,
right.
First of all. Second of all, it's gonna cause headaches. It's problems. The biggest problem, what's it going to do to Shohei Ohtani? We do not want less Shohei Ohtani. We want more Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
And that will just mess up his whole thing as well. That's a terrible idea. I hope that one just goes by the wayside. That one's no.
I agree.
That's my opinion on that one.
And finally, there's also a single disengagement rule, which means pitchers can only take their foot off the rubber once per at bat to attempt a pickoff or reset the pitch clock.
Let's wait for this one first. Let's do a couple of seasons with just the two disengagements, see how it's going. Yeah, stolen bases are up. It's not like people are going crazy, though. It's not like people are stealing every chance they get, you know. So, stolen base is up. Good. We like this. This is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm not seeing an issue. The game times are way down, which is another reason they did this whole thing. So far, so good. Let's keep it, stable for a little bit. let's not get too crazy, rule crazy. It's now all of a sudden it's like, you know, wow, these rules are finally that we changed are working out. Let's do some more. Whoa, 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 hold it, hold it, hold on. Rein it in a little bit there.
I feel like I read an article like this, I see something like this, and I feel like baseball is being run by teenagers. Like, hey, this is really cool, let's do this. Hey, this is really cool, let's do this. Hey, this is really cool, let's do this. the tinkering, the over-tinkering, like baseball forever wouldn't do anything. They stuck they kept their feet in the ground. No, we're sticking to things this way. We're going to keep doing it. We've been doing it this way for 40 years. We're going to continue to do it this way. Now they make a couple rule changes. All of a sudden they get like, we're going to
change everything.
We're going to become the NFL. Yeah. We're just going to change everything every season and stuff. let this set in.
Yeah.
Let this build some familiarity, some mm-hmm. comfort. Let us get to a point where we're going into a season and pitch clock is not a big deal. It's nothing. Well, yeah, the pitch clock is right over there or whatever, right. And stuff. Like, we're not over. There are still people that some of us are still having kids explain the rules to us.
That's a good point. Know, yeah,
let's catch up here first.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Start doing this stuff.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, that this has been good. A lot of the things the baseball has tried has not worked out well, and that's one of the reasons why this has been kind of a wow kind of thing. A real quick side note on this, because you were talking about being run by kids.
Yeah.
Is it better? My question. It's just kind of a philosophical question. Is it better for the commissioner of your sport to be like, what? See, I don't even remember his first name. Is it Adam Silver?
Adam Silver. Yeah.
See, exactly.
Took me a
who
second.
Says nothing?
Yeah.
Who never
yeah.
talks at all? Is that better, or is it better to have Rob Manfred, who every time he opens his mouth, he puts his foot in it?
Yeah.
Which is better? I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
His statement about the Oakland fans just made me just furious.
My gosh.
I mean, come on, seriously. I don't even want to get into it, but same thing. He's just he apparently, now that the rules are better, that things have been going well, he mm-hmm. thinks he can just say anything. Yeah. Rob, you never could.
No,
stop. Just stop talking, please.
He may go down as one of the worst ever. I don't know. It's a good question. It's mm-hmm. a very good question. I like it. What I immediately think of, though, is when it comes to him,
mm-hmm.
like, we all understand what goes on here, that the commissioner of a league is really the commissioner for the owners.
Exactly.
He's the mouthpiece for the
yes.
owners, whatever the league is. I think all of us understand that.
Yeah.
And fans, even your common fan knows that. I've never seen a commissioner who has been more blunt about that. I'm not here for the fans. I'm not here for you. I'm here for these 30 owners.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Even Bud Selig, who was an owner,
yes.
was it like this?
No, Bud was never like, no. You can take a lot of shots at Bud Selig, but not one. That is not one of them.
No.
Definitely not. And especially now that we have a man for, we have some of these people, like Bud Selig's looking better and better as the years go on. I always thought he was a good commissioner.
He was, in general, I think he was good. Like, you said, pluses and minuses. But we do have to keep in mind, though, that Rob Manfred was his handpicked successor as well. So
right.
we could give Bud a little stuff for that, Bud. Bud, come on, Bud.
there's a lot there when it comes to Manfred. I don't know how you trust somebody like him when he's telling you something. If I'm a player, if I'm a fan, or anything like that, I don't think. Granted, none of these commissioners are any different. It's not like as if I trust Roger Goodell with my kids' lives or something.
No.
But just as far as in comparison, it's a little bit of the lesser of two evils kind of thing.
It is
because I don't look at a commissioner. I mean, it's a little similar to a president. I don't expect any president to be me 100%. I thought that president did a good job with everything.
Right.
They're not. This is America. It's not about just me.
Yeah.
The president's supposed to represent everybody. So, yeah, like any good negotiation, you're going to come out of it liking some things, not liking some other things.
Exactly.
That's what all this is. It's not that different than being a commissioner of a sport. It's not just about my team. It's about all of these teams and about the sport in general.
Exactly.
When it comes to guys like Manfred, it feels like where he's not even trying to hide it.
No.
I'm here for the money. Like, I'm not even here for the sport. I'm not even here for the teams necessarily. Let's just break it down to what I'm really here for, the money.
Yeah.
And that's what I care about. And it's one thing to just be kind of blunt about it and try to, you know, be real with an audience mm-hmm. or something. It's another where he just is bad at this.
He's not very good at it.
He's a really, really bad public speaker and a really bad at, like,
Yeah. And again, we're coming up, but not, again, not a very good public speaker at all.
Sure.
And, but he was still able, he still had, at least it seemed like, he did have concern for the fans. He did have concern for the, you know, making sure the game itself, I'm not going to say he had concern for the players because I'm guessing he didn't, you know.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
They had their own representation. He didn't have
right,
to.
Right.
But anyway, but he said, like, the game, the integrity of the game was important to him. At least at times. So, but from, you're right. What you said about Rob Manfred, it seems like all he's looking for is the dollar signs. Okay, let's get Oakland out of let's get the A's out of Oakland.
Yeah.
Let's get the Rays out of Tampa. Then let's expand the league again. Money, 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 money.
Yeah, I want to wrap up on a good spot.
All right,
and it's a baseball story, so I can tie it in.
All right, nice.
I encourage people to go to WPR.org. That's Wisconsin Public Radio, and check out this article. Milwaukee Little League has seen participation explode amid nationwide decline in youth sports.
Oh, nice.
It's a wonderful article about the growth of the sport of baseball in the Milwaukee area.
Oh, that's awesome.
You've got a lot of young, Brewers, you know, participating in this, big names and little names.
Nice.
And all that, but they have had over 25,000 Milwaukee youth who have played for the league since its inception in 1964.
Wow.
They have tons of alumni that include lawmakers, teachers, police officers, lawyers, and Devin Harris, former NBA player.
That's right.
The league is named for James Buckham, one of its founders and a former player for the Negro Leagues.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know that.
So hockey has had this issue for quite a while, and they've been on this in the last 15, 20 years, been doing this really cool thing where a lot of, like the Blackhawks, for example, overseas and here, they will put money into inner cities or rural towns like ours, building a hockey rink to try to build the sport.
Sure.
Baseball has gotten on this in recent years.
Yes.
And paying more attention to this as they've seen, like... If we don't see a change here, and I'm not saying this is good or bad, I'm just bringing it up.
Right.
And that's not me not taking an opinion on the subject. I generally don't have an opinion on the subject.
Right.
I'm not doing whataboutism or anything like that. But think about right now the percentage of American-born players and foreign-born players in MLB.
Yeah.
Heck, we could have talked basketball with what you were taught your point before.
Yeah,
earlier.
Exactly.
I don't know what it is. But I know that most of the greats, or so many of the greatest players in baseball right now, aren't American players.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a decline in Americans playing baseball.
Yes.
Period.
Our game, you know, our pastime,
yeah.
Right?
We saw this in the African American community 20 years ago coming.
Yep.
And now you look at it where there's very few African American players in Major League Baseball comparison to other sports.
Exactly.
They're trying to correct this. They're trying to be like, hey, kids, you should pick up a bat and ball. You should be doing
this.
It's working, too. Like, it's been really cool.
That is very cool.
Sports is great. We love sports. It can make you money. It can make you cheer. It can make you in all these different things. Let us never forget the purpose of sports. It is to help us grow as human beings, especially young people.
Yep.
You learn all kinds of life lessons in sports. One of the greatest things in any sport is you get done with a hockey game. One of the most brutal things you will ever be a part of in your life, watching it or seeing it. It's carnage. It's gladiators. It is just two speeding cars going at each other nonstop for three periods. And at the end of it, they shake hands.
Yep.
That's the rule. That's something that everybody can take from, that everybody, no matter what you're doing in life, even if you don't care about sports, you can take from. Tell me that isn't something that what you want instilled in your kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point of all this.
Yep.
So the fact that you got young kids, especially inner city kids, that could be taken a billion different wrong directions, picking up a bat and ball, like that is pretty darn cool. That's a good story of the day.
And to have the infrastructure there.
Yes.
You need, because baseball is, you need the space. You can't do like you used to, stick ball in the streets. Can't do that anymore.
Yeah,
you need a space to play. And if your community is serious about it, like Milwaukee appears to be, you can make it happen. And that's awesome. That's a great story.
Shout out to Evan Casey with the great reporting on that one. Again, you can go to WPR.org to find the complete article.
Cool.
Take a break, come back, and we're going to hopefully take some more calls. One more, you guys
come
have been
on,
awfully
man.
Quiet today.
Where are you, everybody?
It's a busy sports weekend. Call up 424-2600. We'll talk to you in just a moment. All right, on the other end of this break, as we are wrapping up Playmakers here. Now, about another 10 minutes or so left.
Yeah.
Playmakers brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a great day out there. Be sure to join the conversation, everybody, 424-2600. Call up and join us. Still got a couple of minutes left of show. We'd love to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
As we're wrapped up our baseball talk, I did want to throw one last thing out there.
Sure.
I mentioned in that article the Atlantic League, the independent minor league, that MLB is trying a lot of these rules mm-hmm. out. They did this in years past with all these rule changes that we have now.
Exactly.
The Atlantic League has for years been kind of the guinea pig for these things.
It's true.
What's it like playing in the Atlantic League?
I was wondering about those guys, because it's similar to the Northwoods League. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more of an amateur kind of thing for college kids and everything like that. But I'm like, yeah, imagine if they did that with the Northwoods League.
Yeah,
if all of a sudden Major League Baseball was like, hey, can we try some new rules with you guys? And it's like, can you imagine going to a game? Then you wouldn't need someone to explain it to you.
Really,
like,
wait,
what's going on here? What's going on?
I mean, I can't imagine what it's like as a fan, as a player, an umpire. I mean, a coach.
Oh, the umpires especially. All the stuff they've got to learn. Oh, wow.
Umpire's going into the game with the rule book on his side. Like, I got to double check and see. I don't know, guy. Pause. Time out. I got to read for a minute. Give me a second. He pulls out his reading glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious to me that all of this is about making baseball faster. And in the Atlantic League, it's got to be taking a while.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Well, let's go ahead and talk some NFL draft, unless any of you out there want to change the subject again.
Or stop him. That's what we're...
Yep, you can. You have the power to stop me, 424-2600. I am going to get the drafted, though.
Sure, of course.
Pretty interesting, over the weekend with the NFL draft wrapping up, there was a record 43 trades during the trade made during the draft.
Holy mackerel.
That blows the old
43?
The old record was 40 back in 2019.
Wow.
So you're seeing more of this. And of course, there was a ton of trades even before the draft even got going.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, it should be understood, hopefully, by people out there. I'm not talking to your knucklehead sports fan. I never am. I don't even bother. And I don't imagine that they listen to our show. They usually like
probably
debate
not.
Radio and blah, 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 and all that
Colin
stuff.
Coward.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes, exactly.
Did I
exactly.
say that
exactly. Yeah, that coward. Boy, if that's a name that ever fit, that coward, Colin. So what I want to do, though, is get this out of the way. One, that we're not going to know if any of these kids are any good, not from CJ CJ Stroud to on down, you know, the highest pick to the lowest pick,
mm-hmm.
to the undrafted kids. By now, everybody knows the story of Tom Brady and all these other things.
Of course.
Stuff. So take that into consideration and have a little hope. Have a little hope with this. There is such a excitement, and then it dives down as soon as you hear Mel Kiper tear down your picks or something like that. Mel Kiper is the first one to tell you he don't know everything, that he's been wrong before.
Of course.
And you don't know with these players. So when it comes to this, and we can talk about this as we get closer to the NFL season, of course, too. But I'm very curious to know, not just with Packer picks, but whatever your team is, or just in general, are there any players, are there any things that you were excited about that you thought were real head scratchers that were confusing? I think that going into the first day of the draft, the first, you know, you come out of that and the Packers grab a defensive lineman. He's a linebacker, but he's pretty much going to be doing stand upright D line.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Pass rushing. That kind of,
he is not an every down player,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't even start for Iowa. He didn't start for them. He wasn't a starter over there for them or anything. You could make the argument that he was that highlights his production even more since he wasn't a starter.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you helping your young quarterback with that? Because that is what everything is geared towards. Unless you are Patrick Mahomes and you've got more weapons and you know what to do. But even Kansas City is adding weapons.
Yeah, right. I mean, exactly.
You've always got to be adding weapons. There are injuries. There are problems. You want to stick it to Aaron Rodgers. What's the best way to do it? Make Jordan Love productive.
Yeah.
How do you do that? You put pieces around
tools him. Around him. He needs help.
Now, I think they corrected this in the following days of the draft, in day two and day three. They grabbed two tight ends with Luke Musgraves out of Oregon State, and then they grab a receiver, Jaden Reed, from Michigan State. Then they grab Tucker Kraft from South Dakota State.
All right.
So they grabbed some offensive pieces right there. Those two tight ends, they had one tight end on the roster. You needed this.
Mm-hmm.
You can have them grow and develop with your young quarterback.
Sure, yeah.
So that's pretty good. obviously you get the offense off the field. That's good for Jordan Love too. So mm-hmm. you want to add to that defense. Need a defensive lineman. They grab a tackle, a DT after that, Colby Wooden out of Auburn. But then with your fifth round pick, you grab Sean Clifford, quarterback out of Penn State, a quarterback that nobody had on their board.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Clifford was a seventh, possible, the only person I saw have him on any mocks. And trust me, people, I can't tell you how many mock drafts I've read. you would lose any respect you have for me. You might lose if you knew how
my
much.
My eyes are blurring already. Just you talking about it.
Nobody, literally nobody, had Sean Clifford being drafted anywhere higher than a low seventh round pick. Most people had him being an unsigned draft pick. The Packers grabbed him with their the 149th pick in the fifth round. I'm not saying you don't need a quarterback, but if you're going to get one in free agency or get a vet. They're expecting Sean Clifford to be the veteran voice in that locker room. One,
for Jordan Love.
What confidence does that give you in Jordan Love, who's been in the league going into his third year?
Yeah, right.
And how does that help him if you're bringing competition? Like, you could be everybody in the world, literally every single person in the world could say, this is your job, Jordan. You got nothing to worry about. How do you think Jordan Love got to where he is? Being competitive. There's no athlete in the world that doesn't look for competition or doesn't look at this. They just drafted a quarterback. I don't care if it's the fifth round or the first round. He's looking at that as competition. Mm-hmm. He's looking at that as that. This isn't his best friend. They're not going to be buddies. Like, there's one thing to train a rookie quarterback coming in when I've been in the league 5-10 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that that's I actually think that that's kind of cool, and I admire the quarterbacks like Alex Smith and guys that do that.
Yeah,
trust in your own skill set.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go.
I'm good enough. I'm going to be okay. Yeah. This is such a maybe the biggest head scratcher. Well, no, not the biggest, but one of the biggest head scratchers in the draft to me. There was a lot of talent. There was a lot of talent on the board. You could have gotten this kid in the sixth, seventh round.
Yeah.
Or you could have, if you really wanted somebody, you could have grabbed a quarterback off of free agency or something like that, a veteran quarterback that you can bring in.
Do you think maybe do you think what happened to Brock Purdy last year kind of messed some people up?
Yeah, maybe.
Because of, you know, everyone made a big thing. The last guy in the draft, you know, they pecked blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden he came around and like, whoa, he's winning games. Oh, my gosh. What happened with Brock Purdy kind of thing? I don't know. I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think you may be even more on point with that with the team. What happened to San Francisco.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They had, at a certain point last year, they were calling Seth and I up to play quarterback.
they needed someone.
They literally ran through every quarterback they had on the roster.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a little of that. I don't know.
Some thought popped in my head.
It just didn't. I don't like the idea of calling like the team out or anything like
that.
They know a lot more than I do about football.
True.
But it did seem like real head scratching.
Yeah,
did not make
an
a lot
odd
of
idea
sense to me.
Yeah.
We're going to get out of here on this. Thank you to the callers. Thank you to the listeners. Be listening next week for another edition of Playmakers. Big shout out to Seth. Thanks for doing double duty for us.
Not a problem.
Appreciate you. We'll be back with more Playmakers next Monday. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at. Oh, I like the way Steph says it.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.